October 13th. It's all thanks to Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. So when you're there, make sure you stop by their table to sample their award-winning Irish whiskeys or grab yourself a Dew and Brew, sit back and relax and enjoy some football. Get off the couch, come to Lucky's Pub, hang out with me downtown this Sunday from 1:30 to 3:30. Grab yourself that Dew and Brew and let's have some fun. Grab a friend, head to Lucky's. Samples are on me. I'll see you there.
Roll sound, please. Roll sound.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. ESPN. 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 road show, live from Madison's in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Miller Lite and Coors Light. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects. We got an hour to go in this fantastic road show out here at Madison's. Hey, get out
here.
You
ever been
man.
To Madison's?
I have not been here.
Okay. They've changed it up. The stage used to be over there.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. They remodeled. It looks brand new in here.
Oh, it looks fancy.
Yeah, they've got a balcony. They've got these. Don't you feel
like. They've got an indoor balcony. That's how you know it's super fancy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like they got the.
If I weren't working today and I was just here to watch you guys
go
work.
On the balcony?
I would sit up there.
Feel important?
Yeah.
That's how Lincoln died, though. You don't want to do that.
That's okay.
Yeah, well, take that chance, I guess.
If I go down, that's the way I want to go.
Hey, they've got $10 buckets of Miller Lite and Coors Light until 6 p.m., so get out here for that, if for nothing else. You're a big odds guy. You like betting and so forth.
Sometimes.
Did you see where Christian McCaffrey and Deshaun Watson's odds of winning the MVP increased significantly?
Oh, I'm not surprised. I've been trying to ring the Christian McCaffrey bell for a year or two now, and I don't think any – non-quarterback has more of an impact on games than Christian McCaffrey. He is just a weapon. So it I think he's finally getting some love that he deserves.
His opening odds were 80-1.
Okay.
Of winning the MVP.
What are they at now? 20?
10-1. Yeah. So Patrick Mahomes.
Vegas screws you on these odds.
Yeah, they do. Mahomes opened at 4-1. He's even now. Russell Wilson opened at 14-1. He's 11-2.
But Mahomes is even?
Yeah.
Boy, if I had to pick an MVP today, I feel like it'd be Russell Wilson.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay.
So McCaffrey opened at 80-1. He's 10-1 now. Deshaun Watson opened at 60-1. He's 12-1.
Okay.
So that's a big increase.
He's fourth favorite?
Yeah. Yeah, 12-1. He's the fourth favorite right now to win.
It's so funny
because
fifth
is Carson Wentz. At 14-1, he opened at 10-1 and now he's fallen a little bit to 14-1. I don't know though, they have Tom Brady at 20-1. He opened at 12-1. Here's the crazy move, though. They don't even really talk about this in the article. Dalvin Cook opened at 200-1 to win MVP. He's now 20-1.
That is a big move.
That's a huge move.
Yeah.
But again, the only other non-quarterback besides Christian McCaffrey on the top of this list.
It's hard for me to know where Watson should be right now.
I don't think he's 12-1.
I don't because you
don't even know what this team is.
Because. And it's easy to have recency bias and say, God, look how great he was last week.
Game 5,
and he was great.
Yeah.
He was just as bad in game 4.
Right. That's what I mean. This whole team is inconsistent, and it starts and ends with him.
Yeah.
He's been inconsistent. This offensive line has been inconsistent. The coaching has been inconsistent.
But
I don't know who this Texas team is.
What team hasn't been inconsistent so far?
Patriots.
That's about it.
The Dolphins, they haven't been inconsistent.
They've been steady.
They've been consistently awful.
They've been steady.
Season.
Everybody else is kind of a up and down thing. I guess the 49ers.
The 49ers have
played no one.
Yeah, but they've
got
to play your schedule, right?
Yeah, they've been consistent. Buffalo's been fairly consistent. I don't know. I just they're in a group of a whole bunch of teams who have been up and down. The Cleveland Browns, the Tennessee Titans, the Colts.
I mean, the Packers, if you really look at that game
Packers,
one, they looked bad, but now they look like that game one was an aberration.
Yeah.
There's that inconsistency does exist.
Minnesota.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 weeks ago, everyone was like, what? Kirk Cousins is the worst thing in the whole world. Now, last week, it's like, oh, well, maybe the Vikings are pretty good again.
You're right, because I'm looking at like the Bucks. At one point, it was like, "What's going
on?"
They're
a roller coaster. I don't.
They're like
the Bucks and the Titans are the worst. Well, and maybe the Browns. They're the worst Jekyll and Hyde teams.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been almost every game. Like the Browns, I think, are the most consistently inconsistent because I think they haven't come within double digits of the spread.
Yeah.
In any game, they've either exceeded the expectations by double digits or missed expectations by double digits in every single game, which is hard to do. But the Browns are the most wild team. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of it going around the NFL this year.
On this list, just to give you the last couple here, Lamar Jackson, who started out like a house on fire, he was at 100-1. Now he's at 40-1. Dak is at 40-1.
You can have that.
The one that is kind of interesting, but it's obviously because of the injury, but Drew Brees started out at 10-1, and he's at 500-1. He's missed too much time to be able to come back.
It.
Yeah. But to go from 10-1 to 500-1, and when's he coming back? He's due back week what? This week or next week?
Not this week.
Is it next week?
I mean, I think they're hoping he's back next
week. Yeah, that's just not enough time in the season.
That means he's going to miss 4.5 games.
Yeah, and they're not having a bad year without him. So – probably not enough time for him to do
well, and he's not a stat monster like he used to be either. He's not like a 5,000 yard passing guy.
Yeah.
Anyway,
the only other one that's kind of interesting is Aaron Rodgers went from 8-1 to 25-1, and they're playing well. They're 4-1. We talked about, you know, they've been a little inconsistent, but I don't think anyone expected them to be 4-1.
No, and if that team goes 13-3, you know, he's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit different this year because I think the Packers are good more because of their defense than their offense. And that's the reason why Tom Brady's numbers have gone down, you know, because the Pats are still really, really good, but they're not offensively explosive. I mean, that offense, if it were with a mediocre defense, the Patriots wouldn't be what we're thinking of them right now, the best team in the league.
That's true.
But the Patriots and the Packers have now become defense-first teams, it seems like.
I saw a headline. I actually didn't read the article, but it said the Browns are considering trading OBJ. Is it that bad in Cleveland already?
I don't know. Is it
a mess?
I just think they're a young team that's overly emotional. And honestly, if they're going to do anything, make any changes to that team, they need to get that coach out of there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just so in over his head. But there's a lot of talent on that team. And I don't think Baker sucks. I just think that the Baker hype train, left the station way too early.
Yeah.
And he's not ready to be an elite NFL quarterback. There's going to be growing pain. I'm not saying he's not going to be good eventually.
He's shown flashes.
Yeah.
I mean, the stage wasn't too big for him. The moment hasn't been too big for him.
In a short run last year, he took the league by storm. This year, there's
a
regression. It's much like Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson, his first season, the handful of games that we saw him, it's like, oh my God, this guy is going to be the league MVP.
Yeah.
And then the second year, it was like, okay, he's good. I mean, he's good, but is he elite? I don't think so. And I think Baker's going through that now.
Do you think who's going to get fired first? Is it going to be Kitchens or is it going to be Quinn?
Quinn.
You think so?
Yeah, yeah.
He got the vote of confidence from Arthur Blank. He said, we're not doing any personnel moves or changes because they're already talking about how many Falcons are going to be traded at the deadline because it's over. They're already going to have cap issues.
Barry, how many owners or GMs come out and say, we're going to keep our coach this week, but if this keeps up, he is out of here? Nobody says that. They always say we're not making any changes.
Jerry Jones.
I mean,
he's dumb enough to actually do that.
That's how they are. Every owner likes to say, we believe in our guys, and then they fire them because
I realize how bad they've been since the Super Bowl collapse, but the fact is that he got you to a Super Bowl. How much time does that buy you? And how much do you put on him versus the players? Did he forget how to coach in 2 years, or are the players older and not as good?
A couple things. I think he lost an offensive coordinator that is a better coach than him, which is that can be brutal when you lose a coordinator who's more important to your team than the head coach. Mm-hmm. Kyle Shanahan was way more important to the Falcons' success than Dan Quinn. They've had a lot of injuries, but the reality is Dan Quinn supposed to be like a defensive guy. Why did the Falcons suck? It's not because their offense is no good. The Falcons suck because they can't play defense.
Well, they focused all their resources on offense. I mean, they went out and got Matt Ryan weapons. What have they done to bolster the defense?
Actually, they've used quite a few picks on defense. They just haven't really worked out, you know. And you know, losing Neal this season, like when they did, and now it's like back-to-back years, an ACL and an Achilles. I mean, that guy's clearly important to that defense. They just don't have the bodies. But if you get, I mean, at some point, you got to put the blame on somebody.
Yeah, and it's always going to be the coach.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to get rid of him than it is to get rid of players.
53 players, right? All right, well.
And everybody thinks that Matt Ryan's just like – everybody tries to act like he's just washed up. I don't think that's true. I still think Matt Ryan is a really good quarterback.
How old is he now?
Mid-30s.
Is he?
Yeah. But I think that that guy's still really good, and he's still able to put up big numbers. But I just don't think
– 34.
I don't think that this team – is the same team that was around him a couple years ago. And I think, you know, Matt Ryan with Kyle Shanahan was just a perfect marriage. I
mean, 11 touchdowns, 7 interceptions this year.
Yeah.
That ain't great.
No.
And you got arguably one of, if not the best wide receiver in football, and Julio Jones.
Yeah.
And I get it. We'll
Deshaun Watson's got the same
Hopkins,
problems.
Yeah.
You've got to have an offensive line.
Yeah.
And you've got to have a running game.
But again, you talk about draft picks. They invested draft picks in that offensive line.
They did, and Jake Matthews has worked out.
He didn't at first.
It took him a while. But the rest of those picks have not worked out.
Yeah.
And Devontae Freeman has not worked. Like, that guy is.
Oh my goodness!
You talk about a guy who looked like he was going to be really, really good.
Yeah.
That guy's I mean, he is a shell of himself.
Yeah.
And they let Tevin Coleman go, and you know he looks like he's figuring it out.
Maybe let the wrong guy go.
Yeah. I mean, but you start using first round picks on running backs, you fall in love with them, and it doesn't look good right now.
All right, there it is. We got 3 segments left, and then you get to hear more of AJ on the Blitz with Fred.
Yeah, I'm going to let Nick take over from here.
There you go. Cool.
He's aching for it.
Is he?
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back.
He's reaching out for the baton.
You're handing it off?
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back right after this. As usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Now she acting out of pocket, trying to grab up on my pants. On it, then my trailer said they ain't got a man. And they all brought a friend.
I've been popping, man, I feel just like a rock star. G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Madison's in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Miller Lite and Coors Light. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey guys, just a reminder to join me in Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey out at Lucky's Pub in Edo this Sunday from 1:30 to 3:30. They're going to be giving away samples and some swag to all the listeners who come by and say hi. Come watch the games. Grab some Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey with me. That's Sunday from 1:30 to 3:30. Lucky's Pub. I'm going to be hanging out. So get out there and let's get some football together. Let's do that and drink some whiskey together.
So AJ just popped in and now he's going to eat.
Yeah, he's like, you know what?
I'm
going to go be. Yeah, I've had this sampler since what? Third segment? Nice and cold.
I could have helped you out, but you wouldn't share.
No, it's still delicious, though. I'm not going to lie. I'm glad that I made the right choice. Everything on it was delicious.
I went with the Texas tacos, and they are absolutely amazing.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That looks good.
Comes with some queso.
Can I have one? Absolutely
not. There's only two. I would share because I'm not like you, but there's only two tacos.
How mad would you be?
Look how many wings you had on your plate, sir.
How mad would you be if I touched your meat?
Pretty angry. Like pretty angry.
Okay.
I'm seeing more of those references pop up on Twitter, by the way.
You're a trendsetter.
Well, not because of me, but just because I feel like people are starting to, you know, they're starting to tune in. Larry David is legit.
I never watched it.
He is without a doubt one of the best writers I have ever seen, honestly.
I need to watch it. I do need to, but I don't know. I rarely get into shows like that, and I know they're
like
funny.
Binge watch and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know why that is.
I wish I got into Game of Thrones because apparently I missed like the best show ever.
Yeah, you did.
Like ever. So
it was everything you would want in a show. There was good story, good acting, violence, hot chicks, nudity.
Yep.
Dragons.
All in one.
Death, murder, fighting, like everything.
I don't know why
it's
I never got
into show.
It's a really good show.
And they had little people. Bonus. It was great. I think you'd really like it.
I'm supposed to finish the Chappelle special that I have yet to finish. I know he was in town. Is he out of town? I'm assuming
no,
he's gone
so
now.
It's crazy. He did the first show. It was a pop-up show, sold out, obviously, tickets for $250. Then he decided to add a second show the next night.
What's the purpose of a pop-up? Just for money? Like, you can generate revenue if
you're... Oh, yeah. We did the math. I think there was 200 seats at $250 a pop. That's $50,000 just at the door.
Wow.
Now, I don't think he would get 100% of the door. I don't know what kind of deal he would have with the House of Blues. But
$15,000 for someone like Chappelle.
$50,000.
Oh, 50. I thought you said 15.
No, 250.
Okay, that's a little bit different.
$250 a pop, 200 seats is $50,000. If he got 80% of the door, he still got $40,000.
Yeah.
For one night.
For a pop-up performance, which is probably not that long considering
it's
a pop-up.
And then he did it again the next night, and I guarantee it sold out. And John Wessling, friend of the show, he had a great observation on Twitter. He said, Dave could probably do one show a night for the next so many years and never have a problem selling that out.
See, and I feel like
literally,
he's
a city of 6 million, 200 bucks, I mean, 200 seats a night, he could go for years and never have a problem selling
out. And that's because he's Chappelle, obviously, right? I feel like that's like a huge indicator. If you're able to do something where you don't necessarily have to promote it, like you see a lot of musicians now, they're dropping music completely unexpectedly, like no promotion whatsoever, and yet all these downloads, all these listens on Spotify, like it's unbelievable how they can get. That's how you know, or that's at least an indicator that you know that you're successful, when you can just publish anything with no promotion and still get all that traction.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah,
Chappelle is, but he's one of the best at
it.
The man. People argue he is the best. So
if they start doing those Mount Rushmores, he certainly gets consideration
because he goes right up there with Pryor, right? Because Pryor is always kind of included in the. I'm not gonna get into the long discussion. I know we've talked about this before, but I feel like Pryor's always kind of been the guy that you compare everybody else to, who's starting to up and come and look like a guy or a girl that's going to be this amazing comic, you know. And Chappelle is obviously getting to that, if not already there.
Yeah, I think the thing that helped Chappelle was he knew when to pull the cord on the show, and he was able to walk away from that money and have control over his career. A lot of guys would have sold out. Bro, I would have sold out. As much money as Comedy Central was throwing his way to keep doing the Chappelle show.
He didn't have to work.
And he walked away from it. Kevin Joseph just tweeted, says Chappelle's doing another show tonight. So three shows in three nights, all pop-up shows.
50K.
Sold out, yeah. If they sold out, which they will.
Sure.
Easily.
I was tempted to buy it.
$50,000 a night. Now, I don't know what, you know, what the door deal is or what he's getting, but I would imagine it would be 80%.
So. I would imagine, too. I feel like he would.
So he'll leave town with $120,000. That's a
very minimum. Yeah. 3 days, H-Town. I don't know what he thinks about the city.
And you know what? I'm not even mad, not in the slightest, because that dude he's earned that.
He's all world.
Dude, when you think about it, I saw pictures of him with, like, a friend of mine, Charles Adams. He goes by Big Angry. And it was Big Angry, Mo Ammer, and Chappelle, Paul Wall, and Johnny Dang. And they were all getting grills at Johnny Dang's place and Paul Wall's place. And Mo was talking about, you know, just a kid from A-Leaf, and now look at me. And Zero was in there, too.
Oh,
so
Zero.
It was Zero. It was all these people. And
what a group of people.
Yeah, and Charles was talking about it. And it's like, when you think about it, and I realize the way Mo and Charles are looking at Dave Chappelle, but dude was the same way. He just started off one day and decided, you know what, I'm going to go do comedy. And he did open mics, and he grinded, and he did his, you know, and
I love stories like that,
it's
dude.
It's crazy.
Michael Blackson has a similar story. He didn't even know he was going to be a comic. He was just happy and content with working at a McDonald's and sending $50 a week to his family overseas, and he would have been okay with that. Little did he know that his life would, like, eventually evolve into him being this amazing stand-up comic who's a fantastic follow on Instagram. I don't know if you follow him.
He's
not my favorite comic, but on Instagram he is fantastic.
Yeah, he's definitely a good follow. I love when he does the "Who did this to me?" God, those are the best. And that was so smart of him to do too. That, yeah, that made him more popular.
Sure,
being that self-deprecating and putting it out there. I feel like sometimes now he makes them himself.
I feel like that too.
Like he'll make one and be like, "Who did this to me?" You did. Stop lying. Yeah. You know you did that.
Yeah, he's kind of he's definitely become. I mean, I guess he already had an intriguing story, but now he's really like considering how. Like what level he's doing it at? It's really impressive, man.
So in the, I'm in this group on Facebook. It's all Houston comics, right? And they were talking about the tickets for Chappelle, and they were saying that you know, at $250 a pop, people were scalping them and trying to sell the tickets. There was two guys looking to get tickets to the first show two nights ago at House of Blues, out in front of the House of Blues, that offered two dudes with tickets. They offered them $1,600 a piece.
Wow.
For the tickets to get in to see Chappelle. Those dudes said no. Those dudes are dumbasses.
$1,600?
You bought a ticket for $250 online. You probably paid, what, $30 in service fees?
Sure. Let's say it was $50.
Yeah, round up. You paid $300 for this ticket to Chappelle.
And you turned down $1,600.
You're standing in line and somebody walks up and says, "I'll give you $1,600 for your ticket." And you say no?
Just like AJ tweeted, man. Catch it on Netflix. Why would you?
Like, what?
Dude, that is I would have sold that so quickly.
Yeah.
You could have bought a flight and caught another Chappelle show in a different city with that money.
$1,600?
Jeez.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I was like, yeah.
And you're a stand-up comic. You would have sold the hell out of it.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't even hesitated. I'd be like, yeah, here you go. Yeah. I might have.
The only hesitation would be like, all right, is this a scam? Am I being tricked? They'd be like, oh, well, let me just Western Union you the money. We're not doing that Wells Fargo scam.
Nah. Venmo. I'll take Venmo because it goes right into your bank account. I'll take Venmo.
This is going to make me – oh, does it?
Yeah.
I was going to say, this makes me sound old, but, like, I'll use PayPal, but I have people like, oh, I'll Cash App it to you, or I'll Venmo.
I'll Cash App too.
I'm like, I don't trust that. I don't know how that works. It's like Snapchat. Snapchat, Venmo, and Cash App. I'm like, I don't know how that stuff works.
Yeah,
even
with Snapchat, like they had the whole deal with them, or one of the things that's made them super popular is the fact that whatever you snap 24 hours later, or like
it's gone.
Yeah, or 20, like after one play or whatever, it goes away. But I still don't trust that either. But no, I've evolved into the Cash App and the Venmo because there's a lot of things being transferred via digital currency.
Say no more, fam. Say no more. Hey, but if you want cash, you want to use it on your Venmo or Cash App or whatever fancy app you're using, you got to get that cash first. Great way to do that is another app called GetUpside. Put it on your phone right now. If you're not using GetUpside, you're crazy. You are leaving money at the table. You are leaving money at the pump. Y'all, GetUpside gets you your cash back. And a lot of times people say, well, what's the downside to GetUpside? There really is none. There's no commitments. There's no long-term, you know, you're not signing up for anything where you have to stay at it a year or anything like that. If you don't like it, you don't use it, period, end of story. The other upside to it, you're getting cash back. It's your cash. You know, Jake Asman said the first time he used it with my promo code Barry that he filled up and got $7 back. Where's the downside in getting $7 back for filling up gas? And, you know, this was featured on ABC 13. They've been around for a while now. They started in D.C. They're happy to be in the Houston market. And they're just growing like gangbusters. They're always adding new restaurants to the app. I just saw Sonic the other day now is in there. There's really no reason for you not to be using this unless you just hate money. And I know you don't. So do yourself a favor right now. Go download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
Cowboys Jets, Sunday at 3 on ESPN
97.5.
Nope. Hey, welcome back, Usual Suspects. We got 2.5. I don't know. It's 3:30.
30 minutes to go.
It's 3:30. That's all I got. What does he say at 3:30?
I don't think he has one. Or a half hour left in the
Big Show?
I don't know.
I don't know if you didn't hear the news. There is no Joseph today. It is Nicholas and myself taking you until 4 o'clock.
The Blitz until 6, correct? Because
yeah,
they're being preempted for
yeah,
now?
Joel is out of commission today. He decided to finally mow his own yard, and then he ran over his leg. and cut it off. And so now, and then the bad part was, is he was going to take it and have it reattached, but he couldn't get the bag off the lawnmower to get it out of the bag. So it was just stuck in the bag, and then he cut his arm trying to get that out. So
he'll be okay.
He's in bad shape. Fortunately for him, he lost his left leg and his right arm, so he's balanced. At least he's got that balance. He can still stand. Actually, none of that happened. I don't know what happened to him. All we know is that he got cut up pretty bad.
He's injured.
And he's not telling the story yet.
And it's severe. It's a serious injury.
We're going to find out if he does the show tomorrow, which I still say the smart money says he won't.
I don't think he should. I mean, yeah. I would imagine if you're getting stitches from the inside out, that would require some serious medication.
And I'm guessing he's going to be pretty hopped up on pain meds.
Yeah.
Because if the cut was that bad.
What do you think Joel is like on pain meds?
He said his leg meat was hanging out. No. Like his muscle was actually hanging out.
Out of his calf.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's disgusting.
That's got to be painful. So there's no way that's going to take place. But I also want to give a shout out to Eric and his wife. Eric came in to watch to listen to the show, left his wife in the car asleep. So she's out there right now in the car asleep while Eric came in to have a beer. That's what I'm talking about. That's the suspects that we love.
That's the dedication we appreciate.
Yeah.
Just leave your wife in the car.
And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. She'll be fine. Did you crack the window so she can breathe like a dog, right? As long as you crack the window.
He took the key with him and everything.
Yeah, that's the thing, is they tell you don't leave your baby in the car, don't leave your dog in the car. They never said don't leave your wife in the car. Crack the window, she's good to go.
Did your parents ever do that, by the way?
Leave me in the car?
Yeah.
All the time.
Me too, I'm not even going to lie.
That was not a rule that we got. Even in this Houston heat, my mom would leave us in the car.
My craziest story about my mom leaving us in the car, and she would not appreciate me telling the story, but it was hilarious.
Oh, that means it's a good story.
We had this old-ass Oldsmobile, like an old 88. I don't even remember. It was a massive tank, you know, back in the day. That was just a massive, massive four-door sedan. And she went into the store. My sister and her two friends, my sister is about 5 years older than I am. So I'm about seven. She's probably about 12 at this time. Or no, you know, I'm maybe six, something like that, some around there. She's in the back, but there's quite a few kids in the back. I was sitting in the front. I was the only, you know, child that was sitting in the front. But, of course, when my mom went to the store, not only did she leave us in the car,
she left it running.
She left the car running.
Oh,
and back then, if you know anything about cars back then until now, like if you push the brake, like in order for you to put your car into drive, you have to push the brake. Yeah. Otherwise, that shifter will not move. Mm-hmm. Not back in the 80s. So my short ass decides to go to the driver's seat while my mom's in the store, and I'm acting like I'm driving. We're just in a parking spot, and there's another car and parked directly in front of us. So I'm like, my hand's on the shifter, but I'm acting like I'm about to shift, but I'm not, you know? And the next thing you know, I kind of pull too hard, and it goes from park all the way to drive. And we're just cruising, and we're about to hit this car right in front of us. Meanwhile, my sister, who's smart enough to know that we're about to hit the car, I didn't care. I'm like, oh, man, we're rolling. I didn't care, you know? My sister was smart enough to like, she was like kind of sitting in the back seat, but was kind of squished in between all her friends. So it took her a second before she can get up. But she caught that shifter so quickly, literally a half an inch away from that bumper, and I would have hit that car. And I was like, I would have got to my first car accident at the age of six, driving. That was the funniest story I could think of being left in the car.
Now, did your mom come back out and see it as is, or did your sister, was she smart enough to back it up? And
no,
put it back?
She. You know what? As young as she was, she didn't throw me under the bus. She completely
kept. Really?
The kid wanted to. I forgot his name. That punk. What was his name? Eric? I think it was Eric. It was Heidi's friend. My sister's Heidi.
Uh-huh.
My friend, her friend was Eric. We were all a bunch of 10-year-olds in the car, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, Mrs. Sharara. Your son was trying to drive, and my sister just shut him up. You know?
Nah, she got my back. It was an accident. Yeah. So your sister was like, my sister was the complete opposite.
No, she did not throw me.
Oh, we hated each other. Any time I had a chance to get her in trouble.
You'd snitch?
Oh, bro. And my sister did some of the worst stuff you've ever. Like, we had this water tower in our backyard. So it was like, when growing up, it was our house. And then behind us was a water treatment facility. And they have one of those big water towers. The kind with it goes. It looks like a golf tee,
yeah,
or a golf ball on a tee, real tall. Her and her friends climbed to the top of it one day. Of course I snitched on that.
Of course.
They threw our dog on the roof. Of course I snitched on that. That was the problem is my sister would – her friends would come over and get high, and then they would go do something bad, and then I would tell on them. And I was like – I don't know, man. I'm like 9, 10 years old maybe, 11, 12.
Just Tekashi 6ix9ine
yeah,
in them.
So my sister got smart when I was about 12 or 13, and then if she would get drunk or high, she would just involve me. And then that way I couldn't snitch. It's so much smarter. That's how you do it. If you're out there listening and you have a younger brother or sister.
That's how you do it.
And you're doing bad things, get them involved.
I would have never thought of that.
Oh, yeah. She'd be like, you want to try this stuff? I'm like, what's that? She's like, it's called beer. I'm like, sure. That's how she did me. She would.
Is this the older sister or the younger sister?
No, the older sister.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not getting outsmarted by my younger sister. She's dumb. There's no way her dumb ass would ever outsmart me. No way. The older sister was smarter. But she would do stuff like that. I remember, God, I was maybe 5 years old. We're on the driveway roller skating. And she goes, hey, I'm going to teach you a word. But you can never call me this word. Now, what do you think a five-year-old me is going to do as soon as she tells me this word? She goes, I said, okay, what's the word? She goes, the word is slut. And I was like, all right, thanks, slut. And then she was like, I'm telling. And I got my ass whooped by my dad. He didn't want to hear the whole story. The fact of the matter was I called her. She knew exactly what she was doing.
Wow, that was the worst setup. You didn't do anything in advance of that?
No, I was
sure?
I was just out roller skating. Actually, I think I might have been riding my big wheel. And she was like, hey, come here. She had planned this whole ass.
Let me get you in trouble real quick. Come over here.
Let me get your ass whooped real quick. She knew exactly what I was going
to
do.
Wow. No, I've been fortunate enough to not have to go through that. Not
you and your siblings got along, huh?
We did not get along, but the snitching part was one part.
Y'all didn't snitch on each other?
I probably was a snitch.
You were the snitch? Oh, I was. Like I said,
I probably was a snitch
all the time.
Yeah, my sister didn't snitch on me. Neither did my brother. They weren't really like that, but I was probably the snitch.
Really?
If I didn't get my way.
I was like I was afraid to get in trouble. Like, I was the goody two-shoes.
So you, really?
So one night, my sister being smart, she wanted to sneak out with her friends. So what does she do? She comes to me and says, hey, you want to sneak out? I was like, sure, that sounds dangerous. She was like, it is, we're crazy, let's go sneak out. I was like, all right. So she comes and gets me in my room. She's like, all right, we're leaving, go out your window. I'm going to go out my window. So we pop out the window, we go around to the front yard. But I was so scared that I never left the driveway. And she was like, where we're going? I was like, I'm not leaving the driveway. She was like, well, we're going to go over here. She wanted to go to the park and get high or something. I don't know what it was. I was like, I'm not getting off this driveway.
You were terrified.
But she was like, well, you're out now. If you snitch on me, you're going to get in trouble because you did it too and left. So I literally was just sitting on the driveway waiting for them to come back.
How long did that take?
Hours.
Yeah.
I just sat there. I was like, this is the stupidest thing ever. Because in my mind, I'm like, I can't go tell now.
Again, patience I don't have. See, you might be meant for meditation if you're waiting out there for hours. I have zero patience.
What was I going to do? Go in and tell them myself?
That's probably true.
No. I was like, I just waited, and then we snuck back in, and that was it. She knew what she was doing, man. She was smart. I wasn't. And unfortunately for me, I couldn't do any of this with my younger sister. We were 10 years apart. So by that time, I was too old. I didn't have to worry about it.
See,
anymore.
We're 5.5 years apart. So I'm the middle child. My sister's the oldest.
Yeah.
She's 5.5 years older than me. I'm 5.5 years older than
the
youngest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They spread it out. I don't know.
Yeah, well, yeah. time for the five-year making of the baby.
At least I know my
– Every 5 years, and then half a year goes by, and they have a baby. Yeah, that's okay. You shararas really spread it out.
I know. We really do. Every time I think about that, I'm like, wow, over the course of 15, 16, 17 years, man. Like,
maybe,
but look, I have a friend
they did it like on some sort of weird like schedule of a comet or something. You don't know. Like, you know, Halley's Comet comes by. Well, time to have the sex and make a baby.
I wonder what the age discrepancy is for Philip Rivers and his kids. Because doesn't he have like 27 kids or something like that?
He does it every like tidal shift. Every time the tide goes in and out, he has a baby.
Yeah, every fall or something.
Is it 14?
Yeah, I think it's something closer to that. Obviously, 27 is an exaggeration. I don't know if he's up in the double digits, but I feel like he is. I feel like he's
nine?
At least.
Is it nine?
Nine kids.
I thought it was 14.
I feel like he's still going, though.
Let's see. Google Philip Rivers. I got to look on the whole Wikipedia page. Should have. I feel like his kids should have its own Wikipedia page.
Probably.
What are
a lot of Christmas gifts.
When it's all said and done, which is he going to have more of, kids or years in the NFL?
Wow. That's an interesting bet, actually.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I got distracted by that video.
Oh, what are you?
It's like bloopers. But, I would imagine, how long has he been? He's already did you find the number yet? Let me see. I'll find out now.
No, I was trying to find that. Yeah, look.
Googling like Joel Blank
yeah,
right now.
We're going to hop to a break. We'll get back with how many kids officially does Philip Rivers have? And, see, now you said 8. He said 9. I said 14. Nick said 27. We're all over the map here. We're going to find that out, and then we'll figure out which is going to be more, years in the NFL or kids. All right, we'll be back right after this. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Madison's in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Miller Lite and Coors Light. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 3 3/4 in the books, 1/4 to go. This is Usual Suspects. Welcome back. Final segment of the big show. The
show flew by.
It did go by fast. Don't forget, guys, we're out here at Madison's all day until 6 p.m., and then you guys are going to stay and watch the Astros game, or are you going to?
I'm probably going to listen to it on radio.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, you can take advantage while you get out here for $10 Miller Lite and Coors Light buckets until 6 p.m., and we're out here thanks to the folks at Madison's and Miller Lite and Coors Light. So, get out here. The food was amazing. I had the sampler. Highly recommended, especially if you get to eat it warm. It took me 3 hours because, you know, the radio gets in the way.
Right. I would have been able to give you some feedback on the sampler as well, but Barry wouldn't share. So
yeah, well, that's my it's Barry is funny, not Barry is sharing. So,
okay. Okay.
Yeah, you get
But you know the good thing about being at Matt, the best time to go to any bar, actually, is when there's a beer rep in the building.
Yes, yes.
Because then you get free beer.
Is there a beer
So this is a
here?
Really good what? Time to be at Madison.
Where the hell is my free Coors Light?
They don't like you. That's why you didn't get one.
What?
That's why you didn't get one.
I got no Coors Light. I got no Miller Light. I got nothing in front of me. You're not, damn it.
John Granato would be proud.
He would be proud of you. Did the mountains turn blue?
I think it did.
Boom.
Climb on, brother.
Climb on, brother. What is it? There was a couple things I wanted to do. Oh, several people, including Arian's Fetus and Chris Davis on Twitter, are referring to Joseph. If you didn't hear, Joel is out. He's trying to learn how to throw knives, and it didn't go well, and he ended up stabbing himself in the leg. And we don't know what happened, but several people are comparing him to the Black Knight on Monty Python when the Black Knight loses an arm, and he's like, that's just a flesh wound. And then, oh, is this a beer for me? Oh, my friend, thank you so much. That's amazing.
They say when you complain,
look at that.
You can sometimes
How
get what
come
you
I
want.
Don't have a stack of money right here? No, that's not going to happen. Well, I'll take the Coors Light, though.
Sure.
It's delicious.
How'd that taste?
Delicious. But, yeah, several people are saying he's the Black Knight from Monty Python, so he lost the arm, he's lost the leg. He's going to
– I saw the gif.
No arms and legs left. Be like, you can't pass – he's just headbutting people, trying to get Lisa, trying to get by when he's walking the dogs. Get well soon, Joel.
Yeah.
And I forgot to get the gentleman's name on the way out.
Oh, the gentleman who did the number one no-no of all time with Barry Laminack. I had an opportunity to speak with him. I forgot his name already, too. And the first thing he does as he approaches the broadcast table, he's like, hey, Barry. I've got a joke for you. You want to hear it? And Barry could not have been more perturbed. His face.
I wasn't perturbed.
You were disgusted.
No, I wasn't disgusted.
Who is this guy walking up to our table trying to tell me how to tell jokes?
That is not true.
That's the look you had on your
now
face,
Now, you
sir?
Know that I don't like when people, like, tell me that I can use the joke in my act. That's too far.
He didn't do that.
He didn't do that.
He didn't do that.
His joke was awful, though. Do you remember the joke?
I kind of do, but I'm going to let you say it.
He goes, Barry, you like to do yard work, right? I said, yep. He said, you ever been mowing your yard and get bitten by a bunch of ants? And I said, yep. And he said, you know what's worse? And I said, nope. And he said, getting bitten by a bunch of uncles.
Wah, wah, wah.
Not very good.
I was like, hopefully it's at least a semi, like a halfway decent joke.
Now, nope. He was smart enough to leave after that, though, because I would have probably roasted him if he would have stayed.
And he's our age. Well, he's my age. He's like in his 30s.
Bitch, what is that supposed to mean?
I mean, it's not a debt. I mean, well, Joel would – see, that, I would expect Joel to say something like that.
Yeah, that's true. That would,
you know what I mean?
That's definitely a guy in your 50s joke.
Yeah, so – but he was a really nice guy, and he's a suspect, and he's a 97.5er, and he comes out to our remote, so we appreciate him. He probably just didn't get the memo, or he's never heard. What? What
Lauren
happened?
Pope, was what? That you that wrote that? Lauren Pope just wanted to know, is Joel missing a leg like his dog? Oh. Lauren Pope! That is the worst thing I've ever heard
so
anyone
wrong.
Ask. You know that Joel is sensitive about his three-legged dog. And now you're going to go and compare him to his three-legged dog.
His three-legged dog heard that.
Oh,
that's not right.
That was so mean. That was so mean. Wow.
Calling him a tripod.
I bet basically. Lisa's just looking around going, everything in this house is broken. Everything's missing a limb around here.
My dog, my husband.
Got a three-legged dog and a one-legged husband? This is not good. See, you know you're well off when you have a three-legged dog and a three-legged husband. Then you're doing all right. but not three and a one. That's not good at all. That's not good.
Only 9 minutes left in the show, man.
Look at you counting it down.
Are you going to well, I'm here. I mean, I'm not going anywhere. I'm with Fred and AJ, so I'm here till 6. You're going to try and go to Minute Maid Park and catch this game.
I am going to try and make it. I don't know, traffic permitting, if I'm going to get there in time. I'll be there for the game. I just don't know if I'll catch the start.
What is the Waze telling you?
I don't know. I didn't fire it up yet. I'm going to
look that up.
I'll do it on the way out. You guaranteeing a victory tonight?
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes. I'll even throw out a score, something like 6-2. Nothing like – I don't expect them to just put this Rays team away.
See, you picked them to win game 4.
I did.
And they didn't.
I
so if I could get you to pick them to lose, that would be great.
Because you think if I pick them to
lose.
I
think you're the curse. I think you're the reason.
But
it has nothing to do with the performance.
See, I don't
field.
Mind going back on my pick,
right.
But it's documented. So over the airwaves, sir.
That's true.
It cannot be.
That's true.
Cannot be taken back.
It's going to be interesting. This is a team that won more than the Astros, that won more home games than anyone else in Major League Baseball, and they fared far better at home than they did on the road. You kind of expected them to struggle a little bit on the road. I didn't think they would lose two in a row, but that is baseball, and this Rays team is scrappy if nothing else. They've relished this underdog role. They've loved it. They've lived up to it. And I shouldn't say lived up to it, but they stepped up to it. And I think it's going to be an interesting game. I think this is the part, though, where Gerrit Cole, and we talked a little bit about it before the game 4, but I feel like this is Gerrit Cole's final stamp on his season as, hey, I know you guys have been going back and forth. I know you guys have been deciding who's better, Verlander or myself. This is game 5. This is do or die. This is win or go home. I'm on the mound.
You guys are depending on me.
I'm about to put my stamp on this season as the dominant pitcher in this clubhouse.
Perfect situation. Guys like Brantley and some of the guys that we've been concerned about get some hits, get on base, and maybe they get off to a good start early on in the first and second inning. And like I said, some of the guys that have been struggling don't show that struggle, and they take away this game. Early on, that's the perfect scenario.
Yeah,
I just don't think the Rays team are going to go away that easy. I think it's going to be a bit of a nail biter
low
for
score.
A while,
yeah.
And then something's going to happen similar to the National situation where they put the Astros over the top and allowed them to advance. So
the lineup is out. You got Springer leading off, Brantley hitting second. So AJ Hinch decides not to move him down in the order.
Okay,
I think that's smart. Altuve hitting third, Bregman fourth. Alvarez, 5th. Gurriel, 6th. Correa, 7th. Josh Reddick is in and playing right field, hitting 8th. Maldonado obviously catching because he's Gerrit Cole's personal catcher, hitting 9th.
Like I said in the first hour, I'm okay with that. I don't think you move Brantley because of the situation. I know it's been over a month. or 6 weeks or however long it's been. I think Altuve coming up behind Brantley, Altuve and Bregman coming up behind Brantley would be the ideal situation, especially if the look if the slump continues, you know, and Bregman and Altuve continue to show that they can bail them out. I mean, it may not. I think it justifies the batting order. So,
if you're looking for hope as far as this team goes against Tyler Glasnow, 290 average, but a lot of that comes from Aledmys Diaz, and he's 3-for-10. He's got the most at-bats against Tyler Glasnow. Reddick has 2 at-bats, 2 hits, so that's probably why he's in the lineup over Kyle Tucker. And then Springer is 2-for-3 as well.
Okay.
So
that makes sense.
I feel like for me, it's not even necessarily about Brantley. This is about getting George Springer going. He is the catalyst for this offense. You kind of need what happened in 2017 to happen again. He needs to take off, and as he goes, so goes the rest of those Astros. So.
Yeah, I think that'd be like an ideal situation. Especially a leadoff homer would be fantastic.
Absolutely. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. Nicholas, thank you for filling in for
the wounded Black Knight.
Joel Blank, AJ, thanks for filling in as well. Don't go anywhere. The Blitz is up next, right here on ESPN 97.5.